Charles Finney. The Theology and Methods of Edwards, Whitefield, and Wesley prepared the way for new innovations. In 1792, William Carey, the father of modern missions, published an inquiry into the obligations of Christians to use means for the conversion of heathens. The view that ministers should employ all the means at their disposal increasingly characterized 19th century Protestantism. Many saw this trend as a threat to the biblical truth of the sovereignty of God. In fact, when Carey proposed the formation of a missionary society to the president of the Baptist Conference, he was dismissed with the opinion that, if it pleased God to convert the heathen, God would do it without Carey's help. Many new means or methods were identified with Charles Finney, the father of modern evangelism. The mourner's bench, also called the anxious bench, altar, or penitent form, where seekers were asked to sit or kneel, the raising of hands, or standing up in the congregation for those who wanted prayer, kneeling at seats, coming forward and giving the hand to the minister as a sign of need, and perhaps the most enduring of methods. The use of the inquiry room, where penitents could receive counsel and prayer during what came to be called the after meeting. The new methods were designed to persuade anxious sinners to immediately confront their lost condition. Charles Finney believed the Holy Spirit illuminated every man. John 1:9, and used the methods to inspire a commensurate response from sinners. The methods stimulated emotional excitement, once thought to be a hindrance to spiritual ministry. Finney responded to the critics, "Because evils sometimes arise out of excited awakenings, they conclude we should dispense with excitement altogether. This can't be. There is indeed danger of abuses. In cases of great spiritual awakenings, as with all excitements, unintended evils may be expected. But that isn't any reason to give up excitement, for the best things are always liable to abuses." In retrospect, the only question we need to ask is whether Finney was assisting God's process or assuming too much. Many thought he had gone too far, like Moses striking the rock twice. Numbers 20:11. In addition, many critics were skeptical of the results. To those who pointed out any conversions were invaluable, no matter how obtained, one critic said, "If truth and righteousness are made to suffer for the purpose, more is lost than won by the result. We must not do wrong, even to gain a soul for heaven. And if the one thus gained, 10 should be virtually destroyed, by the very process employed to reach the point, who will say that such a method of promoting Christianity would be deserved to be approved? The altar call." Finney is credited with starting the altar call. But, to be accurate, many evangelists before Finney asked penitents to come forward. In 1799, Baptists, Methodists and Presbyterian ministers combined efforts in the first camp meetings, and used an altar or mourner's bench. Finney popularized methods that were later adopted by lesser men who used them without the necessary safeguard of competent counseling. Gradually, evangelists depended more on the methods to gain converts. A contemporary critic commented on this new type of minister, "There may be no power whatever in his ordinary walk or conversation to enforce the claims of religion. The truth is, he has no capacity, no inward sufficiency, for the ordinary processes of evangelical labor. Much is required to be a faithful minister of the New Testament, whilst small resources in comparison are needed for that semblance of power to which a man may attain by the successful use of the system now in view."
Ordinary processes of evangelism.
In the 1800s, the making of converts was hard work, often taking days, weeks or even months, until God deigned to save them. Ministers used counseling in concert with the Holy Spirit to unravel a tangled web of lies that prevented sinners from repenting and giving all to God. "The heart is desperately wicked, who can know it?" Jeremiah 17:9. Ministers served as pre-marriage counselors, rather than Las Vegas chaplains. If a counselor was patient and waited on the Holy Spirit, sinners only needed to be saved once. Perhaps the most famous counselor was Ichabod Spencer, the Bunine of Brooklyn. In the 1800s, he recorded 20,000 counseling sessions over 22 years. The following is an excerpt of perhaps his most difficult case. "She became interested on the subject of religion, and attended the meeting for religious inquiry week after week. She appeared to understand and believe all that was said to her. Her convictions of sin seemed to be clear and deep. I exercised all my skill to ascertain her hindrances, to show her the state she was in, and lead her to Christ. It was all in vain. Her condition distressed me. I had said everything to her that I could think, of which I supposed adapted to her state of mind. I had referred her to numerous passages in the Bible, and yet she said she was as far from the kingdom of heaven as ever, her heart was unmoved, and its enmity against God. Just at this period I accidentally met her one morning in the street. Offering her my hand, I asked, "Sarah, have you given your heart to God?" "No, sir," said she, tremulously. "Don't you think you ought to?" "I know I ought to." "Don't you think you ought to do it today?" "Yes, I do." "Then will you?" "Yes, I will," said she, emphatically. "Goodbye," said I, and instantly left her. A day or two afterwards I saw her. She wanted to tell me how she felt, and how she had been affected. She said that her mind was at rest, that she now loved God. She united with the church, and yet honors her profession. This is the only case in which I have ever led any person to make such a promise. I doubt the propriety of doing it. I did not really intend it in this instance. The resolutions of an unconverted sinner are one thing, and the operations of the Holy Spirit are quite another. They may coincide, indeed, and if such resolutions are made in the spirit of a humble reliance of God, they may be beneficial. But if such resolutions are made in self-reliance, they are rash, and will seldom be redeemed. If anyone thinks that he has turned to God without the special aids of the Holy Spirit, it is probable that he has never turned to God at all. Please note, Spencer never again asked a sinner to make such a promise, and in 20,000 counseling sessions, it never occurred to him that it might be beneficial to lead someone in a salvation prayer. Spencer was typical of evangelical ministers before Billy Sunday changed the salvation template.
New processes of evangelism.
Finney was not responsible for the abuses of those who followed, but the die was cast. All the cliches and quackery epitomized by Sinclair Lewis's Elmer Gantry began with the use of the altar call. Finney's methods in the hands of incompetent and charlatans would ultimately produce millions of spurious conversions. The methods became the easiest way for ungifted and lazy men to produce converts with little effort. Proponents of the new measure said they were shaking up the dry formalism of the past. But perhaps in the end, all new measures become old, and that which was unique soon becomes common. One contemporary critic made this point: they propose to rouse the church from its dead formalism. And to do this effectively, they strike off from the old ways of worship, and bring in new and strange practices, that are adapted to excite attention. These naturally produce a theatrical effect, and this is taken at once for an evidence of waking life in the congregation. One measure, losing its power in proportion as it becomes familiar, leads to the introduction of another. The 19th century altar call never implied people who came forward would be immediately saved. It merely invited sinners to come to an after-meeting where trained counselors would answer questions and help seekers in the process of repentance. But all this was about to change. As the altar call became more common, the numbers that came forward increased. This created a need for more counselors in the after-meeting, and encouraged a streamlining of the process of counseling and follow-up. Through the changing of generations, the biblical understanding of the sovereignty of God was slowly replaced by a modern psychological perspective. The definition of saving faith evolved slowly from a supernatural gift, given by God, into a decision of the will. Early reports in the 1800s suggested a very small percentage of the people who went forward in altar calls were hopefully saved. As the decades passed, the percentages grew. But throughout the 1800s, a 10% salvation rate among those who came to the altar was considered spectacular. Then Billy Sunday changed everything.